Welcome to We're Listening the Podcast, a community where all voices are heard. I'm your host, Rob Cook. Join me for a lighthearted show about the human experience with live conversations, discussions, and interviews of some of the newest to the most established 3P practitioners from all over the world. So no matter if you've known the three principles for years or you're new to Daily Insights, we hope each episode will inspire you to demonstrate a community where all voices are heard. Welcome to today's episode. Ab. Hey, Carrie.
Hi, Rob. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm so excited. You can tell in the conversation we were just having, I have a lot of energy. I'm so excited. So just thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you being here. So before I get into my excitement on watching you go through CTI as a project, I want you to kind of introduce yourself to the community or to the listeners. And that's whatever you think. That's however you feel Carrie is or, shows up. And then we'll jump off from there.
Cool. Well, hi, everyone listening. I'm Carrie Abb, and I am from Asheville, North Carolina. And if you had asked me a week ago to introduce myself, I would have said, I am a homeschool mom and a Reiki practitioner. And I probably would have told you other things about what I do with my time. And in a moment of insight, literally last week, I realized how much I live in these identities, that I lead from these identities. And Michael Neal, who is my teacher, I consider him my teacher, and that's how I met you, Rob, through Michael. He was talking about showing up as ourselves. And something he said made me realize that I wasn't sure who that person was behind the person who was always striving, who was always trying to be something, to be extraordinary, to be incredible, to be famous. I was brought up in a household where fame and fortune were a big deal, and we wanted me to be famous for everybody. And how I was always, have spent my life trying to fit into certain identities so that I could just fit in and feel okay. That if I showed up as a really great spiritual person in spiritual circles, then I'd fit in. If I was a great performer, I'd fit in that sphere. Whatever sphere I was sort of in, I was kind of felt like chameleonic, that I would just try and be what other people wanted me to be. And in a moment of just insight, I realized, oh my gosh, that none of that's true. Like I've made up this whole thing about who I am and who I have to be and why I have to be it, because if not, I won't be okay. And went, oh my God, but I am okay. Of course I'm okay. I'm not broken, and I don't have to show up as a certain polished picture of anything. Wow, what does it mean to just be me? And I don't really have like a super answer to that question right now, but that's kind of the field I'm playing in at the moment, is like, without my stories and without my identities and without all of the things that I thought were the most important about me, the only things that made me worth being around, who am I? Who am I without striving to be extraordinary? And so now if I'm introducing myself, well, I'm still Carrie, and I'm still a homeschool mom because that's what I do. And I'm a wife, but I am a being on a journey, as maybe crazy or cheesy as that sounds, self-discovery in a brand new way, because it's not self-fixing, it's not self-improvement, it's not even growth. It's just, whoa, who is the being that is me that's been traveling for 49 years through this planet Earth, but who's been thinking she needs to be these very specific things in order to succeed and be okay? Without all that, like, who am I? And actually, I closed my business last week after 10 years. I realized I'm doing this for the wrong reasons. I love helping people, but it became about being something, not about serving. And yeah. I realized, oh my goodness, I want to be a mom. I really want to spend my time like with my family. And so that's a long-winded introduction, is to say, like, I don't even know, like, who am I? I'm not sure. And I'm so excited to figure it out. It's a moment to moment awakening to a self that I didn't even know existed. Like, I can't even put it into words yet. Yeah. But it's not the Reiki master, and it's not even mom, and it's not any of this other stuff. It's something else that I'm excited to experience. So, and this is brand new. Like, you're getting this in real time right now. This is happening.
I absolutely love it, and you'll fit right in here. Yeah. that's the whole reason of getting rid of the bios. Really was I don't know how long it took me, but I remember reading someone's bio and then having an experience with them that was totally different because I had the bio in my mind.
Yeah.
And then it went to someone reading my bio before I spoke. And I was like, oh shit, who is that? Like, who is that? That's not me. I mean, yeah, I guess maybe if I think about it long enough, it could be me, but, right. And I was just like, nah, scrap those. Like when I think of an introduction now, even for public speaking, when I'm you know, doing work, or even when I'm first introducing or meeting a client or someone else, I think the intent or the essence behind introduction is just tell me what's most important to know right now.
Mm. Yeah.
And that is, man, I'm a human being who loves living life. Now from there, I get to express that through being a father. Through being a husband, being a dog dad, a coach, a speaker. But any and everything that I'm doing is at all costs to demonstrate the best way I know how, the love of God inside of me.
Oh, I love that.
You know, that's all.
Yes. Right.
And sometimes I do that in the most loving, compassionate, and empathetic way I could find possible. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I stumble through it with a little bit of frustration and stickiness and stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
I had it mixed up. I thought that the yelly voice was the real one.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I had named that the quiet voice was the voice of fear. It was the one holding me back. Yeah. So the one that would say rest was, no, you're just saying that because you're afraid to succeed. And I would listen to the big, loud, obnoxious voice. And it was in CTI that I realized for the first time I had it mixed up. And ever since then, I have seen it time and time again. I fall for the loud one going, no, that's the real one. And then go, oh, right. No. Okay. Yeah. Got it. And I've had those confused. And so those voices to me have been this mistaken identity. And then I've also had like my own mistaken identity, thinking that I am only how successful I am, mm-hmm. air quoting. My identity is being the best this or the best that, as I said, sort of in the intro, and realizing that's its own mistaken identity, thinking that's who I am. Mm-hmm. And so through the course of being in this conversation, seeing the mistaken identity over and over again, and then, and catching it quicker and being like, oh, wait, all right, no. Listening to the wrong one. Got it. Has been such a joy to get more in touch and realize, oh, all along that small voice, it's totally had my back.
Mm-hmm.
All along. Mm-hmm. I've been like railing at the universe for not, you know, why? Oh no, it's always been there. I just haven't been listening. I thought I had it pegged as the totally like wrong thing. Like, okay, no harm, no foul. Now I can see it, and I'm grateful for it, and I'm not angry and yelling like, why wasn't it always there? Oh, it always was. I was just listening
always
to another one. Oh, okay. Oh, now I get it. Oh, wow. Like mind blown, like little mind blown emoji. That's how I feel.
Well, take me to that. Take everybody back to when did you first hear the inside out understanding, three principles, whatever we call it.
It has been such a funny journey, and I'm going to try and keep it compact because it was long, but I'll keep it short. I first stumbled upon it without knowing I was stumbling upon it in 2016. I had been diagnosed with complex PTSD as a result of childhood trauma, childhood abuse. And I was feeling bad. I had been feeling bad for many, many years prior, physical illness, as well as just emotional distress. And I had tried everything. I mean, from the most traditional ways to feel better to the most out there alternative, energy medicine, yoga, Reiki. I said, I'm a Reiki master. Every way to try and heal, fix myself, feel better, and more or less manage complex PTSD, because I was told that's all I was going to ever be able to do with it is manage these symptoms. And I was listening to a podcast of a woman who was talking about she had complex PTSD, and I can't remember her name. I wish I could. And she stumbled upon this new paradigm, is what she kept calling it. And this new paradigm, within this paradigm, she was, when she got, what she said that I heard was, I get triggered, but it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't bother me. But she wasn't saying a whole lot else. And I was like, what is this woman talking about? Mm-hmm. And she wasn't given any names of teachers. She didn't say Sid Banks. She didn't say anybody. She just kept saying new paradigm and different way of look, seeing things. And I think maybe higher level of consciousness. And I was kind of actually skeptical. I was like, too good to be true. Like, no. So that was my first introduction. And I kind of followed her on and off for a while, but fell off the radar. And I was deep in a yoga practice at the time that required me to get up at 3:30 in the morning and take a cold shower and meditate for 3 hours and do all this stuff just to stay okay. I had to do all these things. And I was devoted to this as the way, the healing I needed. So I was deep in that. And somehow, I don't remember how, I came across Dr. Amy Johnson. Shout out to Dr. Amy, because she was my first real, like, interest. She doesn't know me. She's never met me. She has no idea who I am.
Really?
But, no, I've never met her. But
cool. Well, plug. She's cool people.
I don't know if she'll want to meet me after this story. Maybe. We'll see. So because I read the beginning of her. So I see her website. I don't remember what I thought about it, but it was enough to buy her book, Little Book of Big Change. And I read a couple of chapters and I hated it. I was angry at it. It reminded me of sort of like how Elsie Spittle says that she like hid from Sid when he mm-hmm. came over. That mm-hmm. was me. Like, no. This can't possibly be true. And I threw away the book. So this was like 2019. Yeah. Summer of 2019. It challenged everything mm-hmm. that I was being taught at the moment about what it meant to be okay. And so I was like, screw that with this book. Screw that, Dr. Amy. Sorry, Dr. Amy. And I must have signed up for her website, her newsletter, and unsubscribed maybe 15 times. I kept going on, and then I'd get an email and something would challenge me and I'd be like, no, delete. And I was in this war with Dr. Amy that she did not know she was in with me. For the better part of about a year and a half, I actually ended up buying her book 3 times and I threw it away twice because wow. I was so challenged by what she was saying. I couldn't hear it, but I was hearing something enough that I kept coming back. And it wasn't until early 2020, right before the pandemic, my yogic world kind of exploded. A lot about the community I was in was exposed to be a really, really not great thing. And I don't need to go into it, but it was enough to make me go, I don't want anything to do with that anymore. And there was this little void. And up comes, what about that Dr. Amy? What about her? So that was when I bought the book for the 3rd time, my friends. And I read the whole thing, finally. And something in there, she said something about thoughts being like an alarm clock. And they just kind of go off and it hit. And I went, oh, I think that's got to be true. I think that's true. And that was the first time. That was maybe summer of 2020. I saw it and I signed up for her Changeable course, and it was a self-paced course. So I didn't meet her. I just went through the course. I bristled again when I realized we were in more of a spiritual conversation than I thought. I was done with spirituality at that moment. And her book, the first book anyway, I subsequently read the second one, but the first one didn't really have a whole lot of a spiritual bent. It was more like, this is a new way of looking at psychology, and that felt comfortable for me. And then within Changeable or the Change course, I think Bill Pettit was on and he started talking about spirituality. And I was like, no, I've been betrayed. No, I don't want this to be spiritual. I got so angry again. I stayed with it though. I did. And that was kind of how I got into the principles. I didn't even really know who Sid was until I met Michael. And then I don't remember how I came across Michael. I just did, somehow fell into his community and have been there. Still love Dr. Amy. Think she's amazing. Went through all of her courses. I just kind of landed in Michael's world.
I absolutely love this story. By the way, I think this is the funniest come to the principal story I think I've ever heard. This is hilarious.
I've done the two-step with this for a while, because even within Michael, like, I was a yeah butter for a long time. Yeah, but I see it. But what about what? And child abuse was my thing. What about child abuse? Because it was my thing. And it was a big part of my identity, victim of child abuse. And so I fought again, Michael didn't know I was fighting with him. I wasn't fighting with actual Michael. I was fighting with his books. Like, I was fighting with these people in my head, their podcasts, like yelling at them as I'm jumping on my rebounder, listening to them in the morning. And so nobody knows they were, I was arguing with them, but I was. But finally, I was somewhere, even just last year, this is relatively new for me, things dropped to such a place where I couldn't say this wasn't true anymore. I finally was like, oh no, I see it. And I really see it. And I'm in. And okay, now where do we go? And from there, I'm not going to say it hasn't had its ups and downs, but I haven't thrown away any more books, haven't quit any courses, haven't stormed away in a huff, proving I was superior to everybody else. I absolutely have just been bathing in the beauty of this conversation from different angles, mostly Michael, mostly Amy. But then I've also, I made a promise to myself when I started that I wasn't going to put anyone up on pedestals because that's what I had done in other communities. And that I wasn't going to go at this with my type A, gotta be a gold star student. So I wasn't going to buy every book and learn who all the major players were. Like, I still kind of don't know who all like the famous three people, people really are. I just allow minds to guide me to the next thing. So if a book kind of shows up on my Amazon recommendations and I'm like, oh, okay, let me buy that. I have a very chill, even though I know it doesn't sound like I'm a chill person because I'm not, but I have a chill approach to the principle because there's truth and gold here that is the most special, important thing I've ever come across. Yeah. That it feels like to do it or approach it in a way that's anything other than allowing mind to guide me as best I can feels like antithetical to everything that's happening here. To push it and shove it and make it contorted into something I want it to be in a timeline that I want it to happen, it just doesn't feel right. Like, it just doesn't feel right. So after getting past all the fighting and the arguing with real teachers, but in my imagination, once I finally went, no, this is home. This is truth, capital T. All right, I'm gonna allow it to move me rather than trying to shove it the way I've done with so many other things. And so, I said I was gonna make that short. I didn't, but
that is one a funny story. Right? So I'm not even. I will send it probably to Dr. Amy before this even podcast releases, just so she can see it, because that's going to be hilarious.
I love Dr. Amy.
I know, but there are some things in there that you did point to that I love, right? About not getting in this to run and find the famous teachers, because there aren't really what we should be calling famous teachers. Every individual in this community could stand on stage and share their experience and be powerful, magnetic, and impactful. Like, it's just who we innately are. So I love that. But now you got me thinking about, were you fighting me? Because you told me your first, you know, intro to me was just, oh, I heard something about this, and you made it sound like it was a real easy little breeze. So now I have to ask, did you fight me too?
What I do remember was there was both, because I certainly didn't fight you in the call. Like, I was just like, oh, okay. And this is this Rob Cook guy that everybody loves. And maybe he just got mad at me. I don't know. He doesn't seem like mad, but he definitely seemed like he was pointing me in a different direction. I'm not sure. I'm just going to keep quiet. And so I did, because you, whoever else was in our group, was also another person who'd been in the conversation. So you guys were having a conversation that was so above my head. I was like, I don't know what these guys are talking about. I think I was out of my, I'm really going to like really fight with people stage. Yeah. I think it was more just like, if anything, like a, what is happening here? Like, I'm not really sure what he means. And I know I wanted to know more, but I do remember being very up in my head about it, just being very intellectual. And you know what, now that you say it, what I did feel was like, I'm entitled to, listen to this, I'm entitled to my definition of forgiveness. And if my definition of forgiveness is that the other person, whatever it was at the time, like, if I was fighting anywhere, it was like, fine, like, you can have your definition, but this is my definition. And aren't we all allowed to have our own definition? I think that was probably, if I was being truthful, that sounds real and right. That it was an internal, like, wait, No. And if I don't ever want to forgive the people who wrong me, I don't ever have to. And I don't care if Rob Cook said it. Like, just like that kind of like, meh, meh, meh. Talk about ego driving the car. Woo, yeah, in like speeding down that highway. But I know though too, and this isn't BS, like this, I said what I said earlier, because I the feeling I took away a year later was, I think there's something to what he's saying. There's yeah. something there. I don't get it right now. And I'm going to stand on the fact that I can have my experience of forgiveness, whatever that is. And I'm pretty sure probably at that point I was like, oh, he's probably just spiritually bypassing. Cause that's what I like. That's something I've been taught. Right. So I'm sure that that was also in there. Like I probably went on the moral high ground there for a minute. Like I'm not yeah. spiritually bypassing. I don't do that.
That is hilarious. I love it. I really do love it. It's so funny.
But I did see something else that was true that, as I said, prior to our recording, I only saw clearly a couple weeks ago, but you did plant a seed. So even if I was kicking and screaming, which I'm sure I was, there was truth there too. I didn't, because I wouldn't remember it a year later if it hadn't planted a seed. I don't remember anything a year later anymore, unless it actually really made an impact. And it did. It got me thinking in a different way about what forgiveness could look like, even if I wasn't on board with it at that moment. So yeah, it was both, I think, is the answer to the question.
That is super funny. And just so people know, the conversation was about forgiveness. And at that point, I had seen, for me and my journey, that actually everybody was really doing the best that they could with the level of thinking that they had. And so if that was true, then possibly putting me in that same mode of thinking could produce, if not the same, very close to behaviors. So it wasn't really anything personal. So it wasn't really a forgiveness type thing. It was more of an accepting who they were and what their mindset was at the moment that experience happened. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all we're ever doing.
Yes. Yes. Now I'm like, oh, 100%. Yeah. I get it. And plus now.
Yeah, yeah.
I see it and. I could do a TED talk on it now. I see it so much. And so yes, like that, everything you said that day that I remember is so obvious to me now. And there wouldn't be a part of me that would fight you on it. Like, no. That's not the way to see it.
I don't like fighting no more.
No, and I don't. Oh. And that's the thing. I don't either. And if being in this conversation certainly has softened that part of me too, the part that wants to be right, the part that wants, and I don't even like talking about parts because that's not even what I mean. But when that thinking kicks up that says, no, 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 this is mine and I'm entitled to this, that ego part, I see it now so much more clearly. Even when I have mistaken identities, it's not as big as it used to be. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be in that space anymore. It doesn't feel good. And now I get that it's alerting me to something very different than what I thought it was alerting me to in the past. It's one of my biggest insights in the last 7 months that has just blown my world open. Maybe last December, that I couldn't tell the future. I thought I knew the future, not as like a psychic, although like my work kind of had some of those elements in it, but it wasn't that I thought I was psychic or something. It's just that I was swimming in a world of thought that said, I know the future and it's going to be bad. I know how this thing's going to turn out and it's never going to turn out in my favor. And when I saw that as completely made up, everything changed. Like Michael talks sometimes about like things like feeling like they're melting. Like I felt like I was in the Matrix. Like everything just went, woo, woo, woo. No one's gonna be able to see what I just did. But anyway.
It's like you are hilarious. Like, I know you said the family wanted you to be famous and I know that was Broadway. But I think there's still a shot to put you on a comedy stage because you are hilarious. Oh my God.
You're wrong. I have fun. I have fun. I'm glad when other people laugh. I'm always laughing.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Seeing or something, but thank you. But truly, seeing that I didn't know the future. For a short minute in time, I changed it. I didn't realize I changed it, but I changed it to, oh, I don't know the future is going to be bad. So that means the future is going to be good. So when the next thing happened that didn't come out the way I wanted it to, I got mad and was like, but wait, I knew I didn't know the future. And went, oh, I thought I actually now knew the future just in the opposite direction. But the more I have been living in this space of the unknown, of I really don't know. Mm-mm. until I'm in the moment, until I'm approaching the person, until I've heard what they have to say. I have no idea what's coming next. And that has been the most freeing thing. Yeah. And my husband for many, many years has always like lived in the mystery. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't like mystery. I don't want mystery. I want to know what's happening today, tomorrow, and 20 years from now. And if I can't know, I'm going to make it so. Like, I don't want to live in mystery. I don't want to live in the unknown, because growing up, the unknown is very, very scary and very, very dangerous. And so I just took that into my adulthood. But now, like, my husband will listen to this and be like, I cannot believe it's my wife talking about living in the unknown. Like, she knows. It has been such a miraculous insight to recognize I don't know the future, which means I don't have to plan. And that doesn't mean I don't like plan for stuff. I think sometimes I hear that in this conversation and people are like, they don't plan for anything. No, I'm going to have a party. I'm going to buy supplies. Like, I'm going to plan. But that's very different than thinking I have to have a tactical map laid out for every possibility for the next 20 years, that I have to make 50 chess moves ahead in my mind to try and control some sort of outcome. Letting go of all of that.
Yeah.
Just the energy I got back in my life, in my body, not having to plan or anticipate, maybe is a better word, and really living in the unknown has been the gift that keeps on giving.
Fun. I've had such an amazing time.
This has been such a great conversation.
It was.
I could keep talking for days, as you could probably tell. I'll just be here forever. Yeah, I'm gonna go off on a tangent.
I get it.
You know, like, it's one of those that like you just can't explain, and I wish you could feel it in me, but you felt the feeling, so you know.
I definitely could feel it. I'm feeling a few things. One is I can't wait to hear you in like a year from now, because I remember saying, I'm not a spiritual teacher, because I wear hoodies. I'm not spiritual. I wear hoodies. I curse. I watch hip hop videos. I got a sneaker collection. I'm not spiritual. And I was doing a speech once, and Lori, what she was like, why don't you just talk about love? That's really what you're talking about. I ain't talking about no love. It's me here. You know, all of that. And I think all I do is talk about love. Like, it's the most spiritual, like, all I am. It's so funny watching you when you go through, like, well, I'm not going to use that word.
Right.
Watch you in a few. Watch you. It's going to be like, come to Carrie Apps, to Guru. God, it's going to be all the words that you just told me today you stay away from. And you're going to be the spiritual guru of all of North Carolina by next year. What should I tell you? That's just how it works, you know?
I look forward to that too. It was literally, I think, a year ago, like this week, that I met you on that call. So I definitely want to see what a year from now. It was last May for sure.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Okay. Well, here's how we normally end the episodes.
All right.
I already start laughing even asking you this question, because I think I know what's about to happen, but I don't.
Right, we don't know.
But I want you to share some wisdom with me, and I know wisdom. I know. But the common sense. Okay, I think common sense is what we call it. Can you share, you know, some lasting common sense with us? That would be the last voice that everybody hears. But in that, before you do, I do want you to tell people where they can find you, because I know people are going to want to talk to Carrie Ab.
Oh my goodness.
This is hilarious. And then, you know, just share your heart.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you. Thank you so much for this. This has been such a joy, and I've loved every minute of it. So just thank you for the opportunity, and for the conversation itself has been incredible. So it's funny, where can people find me? Up until last week, I would have pointed you to all of my business stuff and all of these things that I no longer have, because I have closed my business. But I certainly would love to talk to anyone who's interested in talking to me about this stuff. And so I'll give you my email address, which is so old school. Like, I'm Gen X, so I'm 49 years old. So maybe it fits that I'm giving you my email address. It is hello at kerriab.com, which is kerriab.com. Yes, there is a website attached to that. If you go to my website, you'll see my Reiki stuff, but it's just not what I'm doing in the world anymore. So I'm in transition, but I welcome anyone who wants to say words to me because I would love a pen pal maybe via email. So that's how you can find me. I purposefully don't use social media. I haven't used social media in 5 years. I left social media. So I don't have any presence there whatsoever. You will not find me. I'm really kind of in, I wouldn't say I'm anti-tech. I just only use it in a way that supports my life, and social media doesn't support my life. So email me is what I'll say. Okay. And now I am going to blow your mind, Rob, because I actually do have what feels like wisdom and doesn't feel like common sense. Because if it were common sense, I really feel like I probably would have known it a long time ago. And so I would put it capital W, wisdom. And we didn't talk about it so much in this conversation, but I think it's the most important thing as someone who I still say is a trauma survivor, because I am. And I don't really live under that label the same way anymore. And I certainly don't live under that story, but I have survived trauma and childhood trauma. And I thought I was a broken person. I thought I was irrevocably broken. And the best I could do in my life was to hobble along, putting band-aids and casts and stitches wherever I could, trying to prop myself up on metaphorical crutches to kind of just be as the best I guess I possibly could be, given that I was a broken human being. And I'm sure most people listening to this already know this, but I will never stop saying it, that we are not broken. That there's nothing to fix. And I'm going to start crying. There's nothing to improve. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. When I heard that and heard it and felt it, that is when everything changed. That is when all the fighting and all of the self-righteousness began to fall away. And if I could have a wish for what everyone in the world could see, even beyond the concept, not the concept, the principle that everything is our thinking, it's that we are not broken. There's nothing wrong with us. And that is wisdom. That's not common sense. That's wisdom. And I will stand behind that all day long. And that's what I've got. So thank you. Thank you everyone for listening. And that's it.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. For more information about the podcast, please go to 3pgc.org. If you're looking for more information about how to become a practitioner, or you want to be featured on the show as a new, fresh voice in the principles, send us an email at info@3pgc.org. We'd love to hear from you. Knowing there is no end or limitation, nor are there boundaries to the human mind, have the day you deserve.